are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And of course, our television audience right here from the capital of South Africa, all over America, all over Africa, Europe. Always a great privilege to bring God's word right to you in your home where you are. So a big God bless you and a big welcome right here from Pretoria, Tswane. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, how many of you enjoyed the youth conference? Come on, it was lit. Okay, and the rest of you weren't there. I understand that Pastor Andy was in the house. I mean, you were absolutely phenomenal, brilliant. We had over 1,200 people get saved. Just in Pretoria, over 900 people got saved. And in Bloemfontein, 400 people. So that's 1,300 people on the Friday night and the Saturday morning. Come on, I think we can give the Lord a big shout of praise for that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's get into the Word. And let's continue on the power of your words. Tell the person next to you, what comes out of your mouth really matters. I pick up the story in verse 17, 2 Kings chapter 4. And my message really is, hold fast. You gotta hold fast. You have to hold fast. South Africa. And speak words of life and not death. The Bible says, verse 17, but the woman conceived, bore a son at the appointed, when the appointed time of come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew, and it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to his father, and he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. I need somebody to say this morning, you are facing hell, you are facing a crisis, you are facing a situation. I need somebody to lift your hand this morning and say, it is well. I need you to look at the person next to you and say, everything is going to be okay. Come on, tell them. Then she saddled a donkey and she said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And she departed, went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. I want to talk to you today about the power of your words when you face a crisis, when a storm comes, when hell shows up at your door. When the enemy comes to attack you in the heat of day, you better watch what you say. When Elisha asked this woman, just after her son died, is it well? She said, it is well with me. It is well with my husband. It is well with my child. She never allowed her emotional distress to talk to her. Just imagine for a moment, she just lost her child. She's a mother. Imagine the panic. Imagine the fear that could get a hold of her. But she chose to believe the word of God. She chose to voice her faith and not her fear. This, my dear brother, wasn't mind over matter, but this was faith over fact. She chose to hold on to the promise of God when things seemed impossible. I don't know what you are facing this morning, but I know you are not alone. I know that God is with you. I know that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you, and God will never fail you. I want you to know, South Africa, it is well with our future. You don't have to buy a plane ticket and go to New Zealand or go to Australia or go to Canada. It is well in South Africa. Oh, come on. We need people to speak words of life over South Africa. We need people to prophesy a future and a hope over South Africa. It is well with the people of South Africa. Come on, give two or three people a high five and say, South Africa is blessed. Tell them, come on. I want to tell you this morning, what you say at the beginning of any challenge will determine how you walk through that challenge. When you come back from the doctor, when you look at your financial statement, when you go through a betrayal, when you hurt emotionally. What comes out of your mouth determines how you will walk through that valley, because there is death and life in the power of your tongue. Don't allow yourself to speak death over your future. Don't allow your tongue to cause chaos and reap havoc in your life, because your tongue is uncontrolled or loose. When Satan attacks you, and I'm not negative, he will. Jesus said storms will come. You better watch what you say, because he wants you to abandon your dream. He wants you to quit on your future. But I want you to know this morning that he's a liar. John chapter 8 verse 44, he's a liar. So when he talks to you, it's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice. When he's telling you you're going under, you better believe that you're going over. When he's telling you you're not going to make it, you better believe that your future is bright in the name of Jesus. When he tells you you're never going to have a job, you better get ready and get on your best dress and know that you're going to walk into a job, because the favor of God goes before you. The favor of God will cause you to be blessed. Oh, somebody say today, I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Tells you you're never going to get married, you say there's 10 young men lining up. Come on, hallelujah. You're never going to get healthy, you say, I will live and I will not die. Come on. Says you'll never be able to pay the bills, you better say, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You have to speak the word of God in the face of adversity. Hebrews chapter 10, 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. I always listen to what comes out of people's mouths. It's like sometimes people say things and they say, I never meant that. Yes, you did. You play a round of golf, and I tell people, sometimes they play with me and they play a bad shot and they talk down on themselves. I say, hey, you're not playing with me if you talk down on yourself. Because there's perfection in you. I don't care about the shank. You're not going to talk down on yourself in a casual moment, because what will happen in a crisis? You have to watch what you say, because there is life and death in the power of your tongue. We're not going to say what the politicians say. We're not going to say what people say about South Africa. We are going to say what God says about South Africa. I like what Billy Graham says. When people ask him, he says, the Bible says. So I want to say to you in South Africa, the Bible says God has predetermined the boundaries of every nation. The Bible says we have to get along. The Bible says God determined that we should live together. Come on. I don't care whether you came on a boat. I don't care whether you migrated through Africa. You are here today, and we better make it work. Come on. We better get along and speak words of healing, words of unity, words of blessing, words that will not divide and cause anger and strife and division in our nature. We pray that God gets a hold of every politician's tongue. You can say amen. Every leader on every forum. People will not speak divisive, because that's what got us in this mess in the first place. When people said, our people in apartheid, ons mense, and they excluded other people. God's language is never exclusive. So many politicians that come to our church, may you please say our people, and may you refer to every person in this country, no matter the tone of their skin, no matter their culture. May you have a heart for every citizen of South Africa. And may you deliberate for all the people of South Africa. And may the words that come out of your mouth be words of healing, words of hope. Come on, somebody shout. We need to give God a praise for this land, for the future of South Africa. It's bright. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Shout amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God never sent a politician to save us. He never sent an educator. He sent a savior. And that blood of Jesus was shed for every human being that's alive on planet Earth. May we be true to the message of reconciliation, not just salvation. Speak words of reconciliation, words of healing, because there is power in your tongue. God says to Ezekiel, can his bones live? He says, yes, Lord. He says, then prophesy. Don't say what you see. Say what I see. Declare what I want. Declare a future. Declare a hope. Declare the blessing. Declare that child is going to live. Declare I'm going to get the job. Declare my future is bright. Declare that good things are heading my way. Declare that I will live and not die. Oh, come on. Declare that I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. Declare that my future is greater than my past. Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. We believe, therefore we speak. We also believe and therefore do we speak. You better watch what you say when you sit by yourself. You better watch what you say. David, when he was depressed, he said, why are you so cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. He spoke to himself. Let the weak say, I am strong. I'm going to speak words that demean, words that belittle, words that derail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Good things are in my future. I don't need to go to the witch doctor. I don't need to go to the Sangoma. I have been with God. And God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of bliss, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. Come on. God's got a great future for you. A brighter future for you. Say amen if you believe it this morning. So we can't allow ourselves to become double-minded. We can't allow ourselves to become cynical. This Shunammite woman held on to her confession. She held on to faith's report. We have to hold on. After having done all to stand, we have to hold on. Even if you go for the job interview and you don't get the job, you have to say, God's got something better. And if you don't get that job, you have to say, God's got something better. And if you don't get that job, you've got to say, God's got something better. You become more determined. You groom yourself better. You dress yourself better. Because God said, goodness and mercy will follow you every day of your life. Come on. You're not going to sit in a corner somewhere and suck your thumb. You're going to say, it is well. It is well. It is well with me. So no matter what you feel or see, don't go around voicing your anger and frustration. Don't voice your doubts and your unbeliefs. Don't voice your fears and your uncertainties. If you can't say anything positive, bite your tongue. Until you can say something positive. Because there is life and death in your tongue. Every time you open your mouth, the Bible says, Psalm 45:1, you write your future. People come and they talk in cities and they say, this nation is difficult. Then it is. Churches don't grow in places. They say, well, this city is not like that city. Well, you've just signed your own future. Because God says, is anything too hard for me? He says, I know not. He never said it's going to be more difficult in America or more difficult in Ghana. He just says, I am God. Is there a God beside me? Is anything too difficult for me? Sometimes we make things difficult and we talk difficult. So things become difficult. Because we become snared with the words of our mouth. Even if there's no opportunity, you have to speak opportunity. You have to speak abundance. You have to speak milk and honey. You have to speak the overflow in the name of Jesus. Because if you look for a reason to fail, you will find many. And I meet pastors, you know, in Lady Brand, God bless us. Then I came to Bloemfontein, people say, well, this is not Bloemfontein. Now we're in Pretoria, biggest city. Now people say, what do they say? Well, now we move outside of South Africa because all our churches are growing in South Africa. Because pastors that are pastoring churches believe nothing is difficult, nothing is impossible. Now I go to other countries, then people say, well, people don't get the saved here. Then we preach, people get the same there. It's what people believe. I mean, you go and start a business and you believe that it might work, then it might work. What you believe at the start will determine your walk. What you believe will determine your talk. You better make up your mind what you believe, like she did. She was a barren woman who could have no child. She partners with the anointing, builds a room for the man of God. And one day the man of God says to his sermon, is there anything I can do back? Reciprocity. You partner with the anointing is going to come and bless you and fill your boat. Says she has no child. He prophesies. He says, next year this time you will have a child. She says, she's cynical at this time. She says, please don't lie to me. She has a child. The child grows up. The child dies in the heat of day when Satan attacks people. In the mind, the secret domain where Satan attacks people, where Satan causes depression, fear, anxiety, doubt, unbelief. In the valley of darkness, the negatives are developed. where people decide it's not working, and then they voice it's not working. But not this woman. She said it is well. She took that child and laid him on the bed of promise, and she said, even though he's dead, he's going to come back alive, because God told me I'm going to have a child. God never told me the child is going to die. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you are facing. I want to tell you that your God is greater. Your God is bigger. Your God is stronger. Your God is able. You've got to believe that God is able and say it is well. And it's going to be well in the name of Jesus. Say amen if you believe it this morning. Don't talk yourself out of God's victory. Don't talk yourself out of God's deliverance. When Satan attacks you, watch what you say. Proverbs 13 verse 3, the Bible says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. I mean, think about a marriage. You know, there's no argument if there's only one person that argues. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, a soft answer turns away the wrath. So if you want to fight with your wife and she just looks at you with those beautiful eyes and she just smiles and she diffuses you. But once the words start flying around, we cause havoc, we cause destruction. So we have to watch what we say as leaders, politicians, political party leaders, because you'll give account for every divisive word. I believe the Bible. Speak words of hope. He who opens wide his mouth will have destruction. But he who guards his mouth guards his life. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. He who would love life and see many good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now we know the evil there is an evil report, which is a report of unbelief. A negative statement is an evil report. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just to be quiet. That's why when God sent Israel, the next generation, to possess the promised land and they came to Jericho, God told them what? He said, be quiet. There's a miracle in progress. Be quiet. Don't talk yourself out of my promise. Be quiet. Sometimes you just have to be silent because God is working where you cannot see. When God took that first generation to the promised land and God said, see the land I'm giving you. And they came back and they said, it's a good land. But the people are stronger than us. And the Bible says they gave the children of Israel a bad report. And the people's hearts melted because of a bad report. Then in Numbers chapter 14, God says to Moses, eventually he had enough of that unbelieving generation. He says, tell them, just as they have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to them. What did they do? They said, we are not able. They said, the giants are stronger. The giants are bigger. But Joshua and Caleb, come on, had a different spirit. They had a spirit of faith. They said, we are well able. Let us possess the land. Let us go up at once and possess the land. Let's build a greater South Africa. Let's build a new South Africa. Let's see this country be brilliant. It come to unity and healing. They had a different report. And God says, because of your faith, I will bring you into the promised land. When the next generation faced the walls of Jericho, Joshua said to them, he commanded the people after God spoke to him, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth. Because your words create. You bless, you curse. Your own future, your own life. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. So God says, this time, you're not going to mess this up. You're going to be quiet. And when you open your mouth, you're not going to say anything. You're going to praise me. Because I don't need you to say anything. I've already said what I'm going to do. I said I'm giving you the city. So now you're not going to stop what I'm going to do. On the seventh day, you will open your mouth and you will shout. And you will shout a shout of praise. And the priest will blow the trumpets and the walls will come down. I want to tell you, some of you have to go from complaining and from murmuring. You have to go to praising. You have to go to rejoicing. You have to go to celebrating. You have to begin to declare, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Somebody jump to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You cannot be quiet all the time. There comes a time that you have to open your mouth. Like this woman, she had to open her mouth. But she did not say the wrong thing. So if there's that fire in your tongue and you want to say the wrong thing, then you have to be quiet and allow God to work until you can come before God and lift your hands at the bed of your child and say, Father, thank you that this child will live. This sickness will not take my child. You go to your accountant and you say, just a minute, open those books. We will pay our bills. This company will go over. This company will not go under. In the name of Jesus, you get your husband with you and you say, our children will not backslide. They will not go serve the devil. God promised us this generation, and you begin to worship God for the salvation of your children. Come on. You begin to praise God for the salvation of your bloodline. In the name of Jesus, come on, Christians, Church of God. We have to praise God for the salvation of South Africa. We have to praise God that we have a future, that we have a tomorrow, because God promised it. In the name of Jesus. Anybody can go sit on Twitter and write something negative. I get shocked sometimes. I intentionally stay off social media, because as good as it is, so bad it is. Every now and again I'll tweet just to say something positive. But sometimes I get caught in a Facebook page and somebody says something and I read the comments. And then one thing leads to another page where there's a whole other group of people that, and they all spit hate. Many of them born again Christians. Can you reconcile that? So meaning if something gets under your skin, you just forget who you are. The Bible doesn't matter. And you just say what you want to say in a moment of what? Insanity, which it is. Feeling good? No, you don't. I mean, the Bible is very clear. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. If your enemy thirsts, feed him. If he hungers, give him to eat. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. And those coals of fire are not fire of judgment. It is in the old days when people came out from the outside, they would put coals, because you lost most of your heat out of your head, in a cloth to warm the person with goodness. So you curse someone else, that curse will come to you. A curse causeless will return. You damn somebody else with your mouth, that damnation will come upon you. You judge somebody else, that judgment will come upon you. You point out somebody else's sin, that somebody's sin will come upon you. That's why Jesus says, judge not, condemn not. Because in doing that, you judge and condemn yourself. Can we not all agree that the Bible is the ultimate truth? Can we not agree that as Christians, the pathway to healing in our country is in the Word of God? And I'm not saying open the Bible and do nothing. There's a lot to be done. We are behind in many areas. Few lights of education for our young people, but what good is education if there are no promise of jobs? May God remove every selfish individual whose agenda is not to heal this nation. May God remove every selfish individual whose agenda is not for the people of South Africa, all the people from the poorest. May God raise up people, leaders in this nation, whose hearts are truly like our first president, Nelson Mandela, like a Walter Sisulu, whose heart was for these people, no matter what the color, no matter the culture, that every child would be able to be born in South Africa and have an education and have prosperity and have a job and have a home and have a piece of land and have money and have a car and have something great, because this is what this land is all about. There is enough in this country for everybody. But if we throw the Bible out of the window and we start fighting, there's no hope. Jesus brought reconciliation between man and God, and God and man and man. These divisive words must stop. These words of hate that Christians are spewing. You are created in the image of God. Every time you open your mouth, I don't care how much you're paying. Let Jesus heal your pain. But you cannot speak from a position of pain, because that will turn into vengeance, into anger, into resentment, into hatred, and it will not represent God's kingdom. This Bible is not just a little book where you can just sit in a corner and ignore the rest of the world. As a Christian, you're a prophetic generation. There's life in your tongue. And it's never we have to pray that God will diffuse all these evil spirits that are trying to incite violence. And if the church will stand up and shine in integrity, honesty, and engage. I'm not saying be silent, hear me clearly. And talk about the difficult issues, which we do behind closed doors. But not on a public platform where you just attack. We need hope. And the gospel of Jesus brings hope. And that hope comes through the church that speaks hope. There's enough land for everybody that wants to farm. Now don't clap, just stay neutral, listen to me. It's enough land. There's enough silver, enough gold, enough money, enough riches in this country for every South African to be blessed. So we have to pray, Father, let righteousness prevail. Remove those who are plotting schemes against this country. And begin to speak words of healing, that those in parliament and those formulating laws will be wise, that every forum, whether it's an agricultural forum, which we interact with as well, whatever the forum, that people will be unselfish, selfless, and that Jesus Christ will take the center stage. Because if he takes the center stage, how can I see my brother have nothing and I just walk the other way? But you will not take the center stage while Christians sit on platforms and attack one another. Every politician that walks into this building, one of them the first time in 30 years, who has a history, I'm seeing him on Tuesday. They are shocked when they see white and black people sit together and they see it's not window dressing. Don't tell me black and white people can't live together in harmony. Don't tell me black and white people can't live in the same nation, in the same country, and see prosperity, and see blessing, and see free. Oh, come on, you better give the Lord a better praise than that. And if you don't want to be part of South Africa, buy your plane ticket and fly to the moon. Go wherever you can. Power of words. I had a young girl that cleaned my house. I saw potentially in her. Now she works in an admin position. I had a man clean my garden. I saw God's hand upon him. Now he's one of the pastors in our church. Why do people treat people like they don't even exist? Why can't you look at people through the eyes of God and speak words that will lift people and speak words that will encourage people? Why can't you go the extra mile as a Christian and help other people find a better future, a greater future, and speak words that will bring potential out of people? You know, at my age, I'm not 20 years anymore, so I don't have to compete with anybody. I just look for potential. And I don't bump into anybody that I don't see amazing potential. Every beautiful young girl, I just see potential, 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 potential. I say, why can't politicians say this? Let's just give our people opportunity. Let's give people opportunity. And then those that have a lot, give other people opportunities. You're not going to heaven with your riches. Stop this hoarding mentality. If you had something and you looked at people as human beings, you'd have no problem. See people like your children. They work for you 20 years and they still as poor as a church mouse. That sick man, I'll puke. That sick. Person raised your children in your home and they don't even have a house where they live. Excuse me, let's get real in this country. Let Christianity get real in this country. Otherwise, there's no future in this country. mean, one of the ladies working for me, she's putting a child through medicine. I'm helping her. She's going to be a doctor. Nobody in her whole life, in her bloodline, has had an education. I believe if people cross your line, you have to do everything in your power to better their livelihood, better their standard of living, help their children, help their children's children. Be more than just a hallelujah in the church on a Sunday. Do what you can to help the people, the neighbor that God... Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. Come on. I'm preaching the gospel truth here this morning. Doesn't help. We just say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, and everybody else in your life is poor. I want no part of that Christianity. Zero. Shabba, 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 and that's it. Either Jesus Christ is the answer or he's not. And if he's the answer, he will show us the way. At the cross. The middle ground. I ask you, in the name of Jesus, when you're with your family, with your close friends, your business associates, watch what you say. Because your words can change a nation. Esther, your words can influence a decision maker. Some of you I've met you, you're working in very, very influential positions. You are the voice that some of the key people in our nation listen to. Then be the voice. Not a voice of judgment, but a voice of wisdom, sound wisdom. People are looking for answers. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Nobody is helped. Be part of the solution. Every time you open your mouth, be part of the solution. Every time you go on your social media, be part of the solution. And one of my pastors, Pastor, I don't want to say where he's, I told him he must give his testimony, and I gave it yesterday at the youth conference, but it's so powerful. I mean, he grew up in a rural area, and his father was abused. Little boy saw how his father's getting abused, and he grew up with hatred. Then eventually he got abused. I mean, he became the thing boys would play with, mess around with, demean. And obviously this tremendous hatred came into him. Then he said, one day, all the part of South Africa, I'm going to be a police officer for one reason, to get a gun. It's the only way you could get a gun, to go shoot those people who did this. Now, don't read anything into what I say. I'm just telling you a testimony. So I had a crusading lady brand. God told me to buy a sound system, bought this massive sound system that I used once. And if it was just for this purpose, it was a good thing. And they, these two young men come, just as I give the altar call, weren't even there for the message, both boxes. And they both respond to the altar call, come to the church in Lady Brain, 1988. Two young black men, one of them on my part is a pastor now. Hey, both of them are pastors, amen. The one just planted the church. It's a Soweto, come on, Pastor Albert. And the other one is one of my key pastors in Bloemfontein. His wife has got a phenomenal, strong business. But how his future could have been different if he did not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and find a greater purpose, a greater cause. There's a lot of anger in our country. There's a lot of bitterness, maybe even more so than pre-94. That's why I say these things in church, because this is my platform, talking to many influential people. We cannot go back. We have to make up our minds that South Africa will succeed. Don't clap, listen. And that we have a part to play. And our part is to draw close to him and to draw everybody that we can to the middle ground. The foot of the cross. Because there everything changes. When I came to Jesus, all my anger left. My racism, my prejudice, my fear, my anger, my sin. Everything changed. This is not a game. We can fight for this world, but Jesus said, my kingdom is not even of this world. We can kill for this world, but then one day we die, and then we stand before God and we'll give account. So many people have blood on their hands. I understand that. We come out of that era. I once did an altar call, over 300 men walked out, men that had shed innocent blood, just in a normal church service. People plagued by guilt, people angry. We have to let go of these things. We have to find the reconciliator and allow Jesus to heal not only our hearts but our land. Many of you sitting here today, you're very influential. You have platforms that God has given you that can shape the future of this nation. I pray that you bow your heart before Him. I pray that you allow Jesus Christ to take His rightful place in your life. And that you become His voice that will bring the change that is so necessary in this country. I'm not saying ignore things. I'm saying let's address.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ, that you died for my sin, that you rose from the grave, and that you are alive. Today, I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. Take your place in the center of my heart. Thank you for hearing my prayer, for forgiving all my sin, and for giving me the power to be a true child of God. Today, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for a new beginning. In Jesus' name, I'm born again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.